Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another campfire conversation and garden gathering. Tonight, it will be me and Corey Smith, our guest. Sam is not with us. He's actually in Italy right now with his wife on, I think it's their 30th anniversary, I think. Anyway, so Corey and I will be talking tonight. And let me tell you a little bit about Corey. I've known him for many years, and he's had a big influence on my oldest son's life, Nick, or Jesse, rather. But several years ago, Corey started a ministry called Training Ground, and I wrote a little bit about it on the email that I sent to everyone. But this ministry, and I'm going to have Corey explain a lot more about this, but this ministry is to young men. I'm thinking somewhere between 18 and 25 in that range. And it's fascinating what he does. He really wants to come alongside these men at a heart level. And therefore, he has three themes to his work with these men, to his ministry and these young men, and that is work, wilderness, and worship. I've had the privilege and the fun of being part of it as far as coming in and teaching on calling with these guys and to get to know these young men's hearts and to see and experience some of the things that are happening for them over the summer is remarkable. I don't have a lot of experiences where I get to see real and dramatic change, but this is one of these settings. So, Corey, thanks for doing this with us. And
sure.
I'd love for you to start with, okay, first I want you to tell us what it is you're doing. You can do a far better job than I did. And then I want you to tell us why it is you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for, you know, having me on. And, you know, Training Ground was something that me and a buddy started back in the fall of 06. And, you know, we really, or maybe I can answer the why and the what at the same time, is, you know, we really had a heart to figure out this age group of young men between 18 and 25, kind of a post-high school, post-college age group. And most of that was from our own stories was, you know, both of us went to college, had, you know, good communities, good churches. We're both involved in ministry throughout college. And both of us kind of walked across the podium and got our diploma and realized we were very really equipped for real life. You know, we'd spent all these years on our in academics, but in terms of actually real life experience within the context of how we walk with God through it, we were pretty much clueless. So we didn't know how to take care of a woman's heart or how to lead a family. We didn't know, you know, how to deal with personal finances, or we didn't know you know, other things that, you know, a young man needs to know coming out of college. And so we were just, for a full year, we just kind of set aside the time and we were like, yeah, what are the real questions we had? And what are the real questions that young men have about their faith and about how to navigate life? And so, you know, we came up with the three pillars of work, wilderness, and worship. And so we just started going, man, if we wanted to learn one thing, you know, even in the beginning for us, it was, we were students. You know, we were like, man, what do we need to know? You know, in our, you know, late 20s, you know, what do we need to know? And what are we interested in learning about? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you know, long story short, we've created a 12-week long summer program, and we bring in leadership caliber guys from all over the country, and we kind of put them through three wilderness trips, one in the front, one in the middle, one in the end. And then we also, every week is topical teaching, like, you know, Gary's been with us from the beginning. So, you know, somewhere in the context of the summer, we have Gary come in and teach on calling. You know, and then we'll have someone come in and teach on personal finance. We'll have someone come in and teach on the heart of a woman, or someone that, you know, comes and teaches how to unpack the scripture. And so over the 12-week-long process, guys also hold a 40-hour-a-week, most likely blue-collar trade labor job that's not easy. And we felt like one of the most important concepts that we had was that it wasn't going to be a summer camp experience. We wanted it to be a time of, you know, testing and trial and challenge. You know, we really wanted it to be kind of a, we use the term experiential discipleship, where And Gary would use the term evaluated experience, which is, we love to steal all the time, which is really kind of putting gas through an experience and then going, what's up? You know, where are we at? What are you frustrated with? What are you excited about? Alongside of, you know, we probably have 30-ish, you know, older men that are mentors through the program. So it's not like these guys are just walking out these experiences on their own, but they've got mentors that come alongside them, older men, wiser, seasoned men that kind of come and share story, and they come and share just their hearts and their life, you know, so that these young men aren't kind of going through this experience on their own. So,
okay, so
that's a little bit of kind of the why and what that we do.
Yeah. Okay. So let me back you up.
Yeah.
And give you a little more time on each one of those.
Sure.
Why the work? Why
yes.
wilderness? Why worship? And then, and so in, as we're doing this, I'd love for you to answer the question that we kind of put out there about this call, about what you've discovered that the deepest questions mm-hmm. and needs of a young man
sure.
are. So let me start with wilderness. Now,
yeah.
of course, every young guy's going to love it, and some are afraid to death. I know you've had the experience where
yeah.
you really shock them on the first one big time.
Yep. Yep.
On the other hand, they love it. But just tell me why and what happens there that's needed, weighty, core to a young man's heart.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, all of the contexts are built that we really want guys to go, there's no way I can do this. And so I mean, even our first trip is a trip to the Snowy Range in Wyoming. And most of our guys come from sea level. And, you know, they, like, for instance, we have a class coming in this Sunday. And, you know, most of them are from sea level. And so they're gonna come in on a plane on Sunday, and they're going to be at about 13,000 feet elevation on Monday. Not only, I mean, it's all snowpack, it's snowshoe in, 70-pound pack. Like, we really want to push guys in contexts where they're like, I would have never thought I could do this. I mean, we summit Medicine Boat Peak at about 13.5, and, you know, really the wilderness piece also has multiple, because not every trip is so physically challenged, but we really like the first one to be that way because, you know, we really want guys to almost kind of, we want to push them in places that they've never been before. And, you know, and because somewhere in the crossroads of pushing guys into an uncomfortable situation is really where we've found at that intersection is where some transformation happens. Because somehow, I don't know what it is, it's the miracle of God, but when you take guys into the woods, somehow there's vulnerability and transparency, and there's an access that we get to young men's hearts that we just don't get in the day-to-day. And so that's why the wilderness piece is so important. I mean, it's an unplug from, I mean we don't even get, we take a satellite phone, we don't even get cell signal up there, and, you know, and it's a complete unplug right in the beginning to really kind of just settle their hearts, but to also challenge them, and to really kind of set the pace for the summer. And we do, I mean, weekend adventures and, you know, the other two trips, the middle trip and the last trip are not, they're not built to be physically demanding. They're more built to be kind of reflective in nature, especially the last trip as guys are entering back into their hometowns and their campuses where, you know, even in that part is a place where they continue to unplug and go, you know, to reflect on the growth that they've gone through in the summer and also to be able to figure out how do they re-enter their lives before training ground. So wilderness kind of offers a couple different things. It obviously offers the challenge, but it also offers a reflective nature where guys can really kind of be present to themselves and they can, you know, we walk them through certain things of just really kind of helping them understand and unpack their story because it's so important. And also it's used to obviously, you know, bond the community together. You know, shared experience is priceless.
Right.
You know, where guys can look back and go, man, we were on the side of that mountain at 2 a.m. to summit and the snow came, you know, all of those are really, really big, big deals, obviously, because they live in community for 12 weeks.
Right.
So,
well, and,
wilderness,
and,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and what I've experienced before with kind of wilderness experiences when you're really pushing it, either a guy goes to, you know, he's scared to death and he's trying to not to let anybody see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or he really thinks he's the man because he's done this before, he knows what he's doing. So it's kind of the pride or the disqualification. And there's just something that, you know, and then after a period of time, you just can't hold that back anymore. Something's going to come out. And then you start to learn, you know, there's a door in for that guy. That's what we need to go after. I imagine, and especially being on the first day, well, these guys hardly know each other.
Right.
And then you bring him into a really foreign situation like this.
Sure.
I mean, you must get some real quick insights into some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, most of the facade falls off after, you know, day two. I mean, it's pretty much like you can tell, you know, who's in the front of the line trying to prove themselves and who's in the back of the line trying to hide themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've seen hundreds of guys get to the program. And, that's always the fun part for me. The fun part is kind of going, great, yeah, you come in Sunday night, whether you're all tough or you're kind of hiding, you know. And part of it, you just really never, for me, I love the kind of the mystery of it because you never know what you're going to get on trail. You know, you could get, you know, this guy that's kind of tough and, you know, he thinks he's tough or he thinks he knows what he's doing, you know, or the guy, you know, that kind of comes in and is more, a little more reserved and timid. And we've had those guys switch. I mean, in the sense that we've had a guy that has kind of been the quiet guy be first in the row by the end of the trip. But we've also had the prideful kind of boastful guy break down and be the last in line. You know, I mean, and that's just kind of the beauty of the mystery of the wilderness is just that, I mean, it really does help, you know, us as staff to really kind of get to the core of a young man pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that trip is story central in the sense that, like, it's, you know, we're sharing our stories, the guys are sharing their stories, and, you know, everybody's getting to know each other, where we're from, our family situations, our walks with God, like, all of that is kind of a part of the mix, too. But the wilderness trips give us space to do that, which is, you know, a big advantage, and it doesn't hurt living in Colorado either. So.
Right, right. Okay, so you have wilderness.
Yes.
And then you have work. I'm really intrigued because so many times when, you know, there are these ministry programs for men or for women, it's usually, you know, it's sightseeing, it's, you know, maybe some type of a health ministry, you know, handing out food or whatever. But,
sure.
But rarely, I don't know that I've ever heard of it, where it truly is, we're going to put you in the work world, which is going to be your world anyway.
Sure.
We're going to put you in a tough one, and we're going to see what we can learn as you go through this, as we do this together.
Right.
And that's just a powerful element. So talk more about that.
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, I think one of the pieces for work with us was so important in the creation of what we do is that it's undeniable that at the core of who a man is the importance of his work. And to be honest, I'm 38 and we're still as men, as staff, learning about work. I mean, it does feel like, I mean, right next to the woman is work for a man, I feel like. You know, so most of the work piece is probably a lot more questions than answers. But one of the key things with work was are two pieces. One is just learning success and failure, and how core that is to a man's heart. And you know, we felt like, we're not looking for like really Christian bosses. I mean, we're looking for job sites where these guys can kind of get it handed to them in the sense that, you know, we really, you know, even some great stories from, you know, even our beginning years where we had guys that had to engage conflict. So they were, you know, a boss would be really hard on them, but they didn't really know what to do with that. And so over a period of time, they really had to wrestle with, well, how do I still stand as a man in front of my boss and deal with conflict resolution, you know, because I think, that's probably, you know, for us is we're trying to build a controlled environment for the most part so that when, you know, and they can come home and talk about their experiences. But when they, you know, when they graduate the program and they're out in the real world, we're hoping that they can kind of, you know, because college is a pretty isolated, you know, experience for the most part. But these guys walk away with, you know, this, you know, this experience of being in the real world, dealing with people that don't know Christ, you know, and dealing with, you know, what it means to get up at 5 a.m. every morning and drive to the job site and put in a hard day's work and come home and do that for 12 weeks. You know, and it's also important, you know, that, I mean, these guys get a paycheck, you know. And so one of the important things that as we do personal finance, it's important. We do always do it in the beginning of the program where guys get a paycheck. And so then we have people that come in that are really good with managing money and teach them, oh, this is a budget and this is your food and this is your, you know, great, this is your student loan and this is your cell phone. And so the importance, you know, kind of escapes words of guys putting in 40 hours a week and getting a paycheck, you know. And as weird as that sounds, not many guys, you know, graduating college have done that. Especially in this context. And so it always, work is always kind of a funny thing for us because we're always trying to figure out, and, you know, Gary, you speak well to this, is that, you know, your work isn't necessarily your identity, you know. And, I mean, especially in our early 20s, we're asking those questions of identity. Who am I? Because anytime you meet an older man, he's like, well, you know, it isn't, you know, who are you? It's what do you do? And so I think trying to build that foundation in terms of a healthy idea of work and rest and play, you know, which we do kind of in the wilderness, and we have got days off with guys, and, you know, understanding that kind of balance as a man early on in your 20s, you know, is, I mean, what we've seen, you know, over the last 7 years is that it's been really helpful for guys down the road to understand kind of this balance of work where they, you know, they actually look at work as more of an assignment, not necessarily as an identity.
Right. Well, and what strikes me is I remember this man who mentored me, Paul Stanley, said, you know, the place a person learns how to work is at work. You can't learn how to work in a classroom.
Yeah.
You have to go to work, and you have to figure out what does that mean, and how do I work under somebody, and how do I fulfill my responsibility, and how do I figure out my responsibility, and what do I do when I'm mistreated, and so I think that's huge. And, you know, as you said in the very beginning, you don't get them some cush job. I mean, they're doing basically a labor job, whether it's painting or building or whatever it is. And so, you know, and I'm sure they're around some rough characters. And so, and I also believe that, you know, we will not get clues as to our real identity in a bubble when we're isolated.
Right.
I mean, there's something about being in the world and letting it engage us and us engage it that we start going, wait a minute, this is who I really am. I'm not going to be that. I want to. I may feel the pressure of it, but I don't want to be that because I'm this. So that's okay. So let's jump to the third. Then I have some more questions for you. So now, and I think the third is so ideally done in the context of the first two, the wilderness, the work, and now the worship side. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of how I kind of see it in my mind is that worship is the umbrella over it all. You know, how does a man walk his faith out in the context of work, you know, also in the context of wilderness, but also in the context of community, you know, and you know, for us, you know, when we have nights of worship, we have nights of, you know, every week we have a good friend of ours is a PhD in biblical studies, and so, I mean, every week, you know, they sit down with our friend, and he teaches them kind of like a seminary course on how to unpack scripture, you know. And we also have a dear woman here locally that comes and teaches on hearing the voice of God in prophecy, you know, because we really feel like, you know, is there a way, you know, because with the worship piece, it is the foundation of everything. You know, it's the foundation of how we lead a woman's heart. It's the foundation of how we manage our finances. It's the foundation of, you know, how we walk out with how, you know, God has created us. And so, you know, with all of that, it's always the worship piece is always, again, is always the foundation of what we're teaching. Whether it's handgun safety or it's fly fishing, we're always trying to create context for guys to not only engage each other or their mentors, but to really engage God. Because it really is a time period set aside. This 12 weeks is really, you know, a time set aside that these young men would really walk with God in a totally different way than they would if they were in their hometowns. for the sake of what they will do after they graduate the program. You know, we always feel like, you know, if we can do everything we can to help young men walk with God, hear God's voice, obey God's voice in their 20s, that they can build that spiritual foundation that, you know, as they encounter trials and, hurdles, you know, as they grow into their late 20s and their 30s, you know, then we've done our job, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's great to see, too, for us, because some of our alumni now are married and have kids, and so, you know, they're learning how to lead godly families, and, you know, and some of that conversation started in Colorado, in Training Ground. So mm-hmm. That's really kind of the, you know, a little bit about kind of the worship kind of piece of what we do.
Yeah. Now here's what I want to ask you, and then I want to give a little preface for a second. I want to ask you, because you get an inside view in some ways to these young men's hearts that many of us don't get, especially as dads or moms with sons, because mm-hmm. you've got them in a different environment. You're all together. You're not a parent. You're a mentor, friend, and so on. So I'd love to hear from you some of what you find are probably some of the most core questions these young men have, and maybe mm-hmm. core needs. But before I do that, I'm just struck by this idea that I would love everybody to know, and that is this. You know, when Corey started this thing, and started with a friend of his, Zan, they sacrificed a lot to make this happen. This was a dream that they had, and you know, I know there were times when you guys didn't have the finances to support yourselves. I mean, you may not have lost a home, but it was real close. It was tight. You guys were working another job. You, Corey, mm-hmm. started a painting business, which you still have, mm-hmm. but are finding yourself more and more consumed by this ministry that's your true heart. And, I mean, you guys paid a price to do this, to build it to where it is today, and it's
sure.
I know it's getting close to what you want, but your vision mm-hmm. is far bigger than the reality of today. How long have you been doing this right now, Training Ground?
Training Ground, I think we incorporated in the fall of 06, and our first session was the summer of 07.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'd be
so
6 years,
basically,
6 plus.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I just want everybody to know that, yeah, for Corey, this was not dropped in his lap. I mean, you have worked and sacrificed and built this thing, and it's been building ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now
yes.
take us into, give us a private view into the hearts of young men that you've discovered.
Sure. You know, kind of just pulling back the curtain on some hearts of young men. I mean, especially even as they're kind of entering the program, which we've been in the process of going through applications and on the phone. And, you know, two kind of main things always come to the surface, I feel like, and they're very closely related. One, of course, is identity. Like, and I would say, like, most guys graduating college, they kind of see the ominous hill in front of them of, you know, full-time job responsibilities. Maybe there's a girl in the picture. Is she the one I'm supposed to marry? Multiple kind of questions of responsibility coming down at them. And I would be honest, I feel for, you know, these young men that are graduating college nowadays, because I feel like we've done a poor job preparing them for the real world, but we expect them to kind of hit grand slams when they get a diploma. And so at that core is this question of confidence. It really is saying, gosh, can I handle these challenges? Can I handle a mortgage? Can I handle a family? You know, can I handle the challenge of being a leader in my church or in a ministry? You know, because some of those roles and responsibilities are big shoes to fill. So I really feel like, you know, that core piece of identity and confidence kind of go hand in hand, whether it's just really, really, most guys come to the table going, whether they're asking that question directly, most are not, but that's the answer they're looking for in the experience, like what we're offering. And I'd also say that, you know, kind of to piggyback on that, is that they really are also asking questions of calling and direction. Most of them are, you know, they graduate with a diploma, you know, in Spanish and they want to, you know, they want to go do something completely different, you know. So they're always asking questions of, you know, what am I passionate about? What's the direction of my life? What's the, you know, where am I supposed to be headed? And, you know, that would probably be the second piece of just the core question of, like, you know, where do I lay my life down? You know, how has God created me to be a part of this world and a part of the kingdom? You know, and how do I get those answers, you know, the answers that I need about myself? So, you know, yeah, probably, you know, those two pieces in terms of kind of, you know, what we see in the young man's heart, you know, coming into the program or in that age group are definitely, you know, the questions that they have.
So, okay, so let's say I'm a dad and I'm listening to this and I want my son to be in this thing and I'm asking you now, Corey, so one of the things that a young man needs is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Describe the confidence that you hope they walk out with. I mean,
does
it look like, you know, man, I can do anything? Or what does that confidence look like?
No, I think the confidence is, and obviously it's contextual. So it's, you know, that's kind of where they gain their confidence. But, I think probably, you know, a lot of guys, you know, graduate the program saying, this is who I am, this is who I'm called to be. And I think also, I think they walk away with a sense of confidence in the presence of other men. What I mean by that is that they could, you know, obviously with the work context is that they could go toe-to-toe with any man, you know, on a job site. You know, that the fear of going, gosh, I don't know how to handle myself or this situation fades away because they've already gone through, you know, a series of successes and failures in those types of relationships where, you know, one, they can release themselves from going, well, so-and-so thinks I'm this, and because they've already kind of solidified their identity. You know, they don't have to, you know, really kind of subject themselves to that, but really it's kind of just this confidence of who they are in Christ and that being enough. You know, regardless of whether it's, you know, in a 40-hour work job or it's in, you know, in a church or in a ministry or wherever they go, you know, they walk away, you know, hopefully with a sense of confidence that they can handle any situation that comes at them. You know, most of that's confidence in God and some of that's confidence in their own skills and talents. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, and, you know, most of our guys walk away with that type of, you know, at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so follow-up question of this is, what do you find? Now, I know, for instance, this summer you have 9 guys,
mm-hmm.
I think you told me, and, you know, they're 9 very different men, different stories. But in general, what do you find are the 1 or 2 or 3 common fears that
mm-hmm.
these guys always seem to have?
Yeah, I think, you know, to start out, you know, real quick is, I mean, I think some of these guys are afraid of letting down their parents. You know, most have college degrees and they kind of had these expectations on them to kind of, you know, graduate and be confident and go out and get in the job world and, you know, kind of do what the normal system would ask of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of this comes out even before the guys get here because we're always talking to parents and, you know, we're talking to moms and dads and, you know, they want the best for their son, and which we get. But I think, you know, for us, obviously, we're a little bit more concerned about the process as opposed to the product. And so I think most of them come in going, gosh, everybody's telling me I should have this all figured out, but I don't. And the realization of the fear of going, I don't have this all together like I should, and it really freaks me out. And I would say that's at least 90% of our guys. Feeling like they should be further ahead, you know, in any context, like, you know, but they just feel the pressure of the world to perform. And you know, they're what are you going to produce with your life? And I think the hardest part about that is that I think it negates the value of the process, but I don't think it honors the young man as a person, you know, and as a creation of God. And so, I mean, that's the quick, you know, first fear that always usually comes out. of just this pressure to perform. You know, I mean, I imagine as men, we all have that. I mean, I know we do. But, I mean, especially now, you know, with these guys that are graduating college, they know they're ill-equipped, whether they would say it or not, but then they're also freaked out because they have to, they feel like there's this bar that they have to kind of jump over. So, you know,
yeah,
I think that's a big piece.
Yeah, and I wonder if at the very core of even in what you just said, is, you know, the core, the fear of, I don't want to be a disappointment to my parents, I don't want to let them down, this,
right.
You know, the fear of, I should be further ahead than I am now. I wonder if it really gets down to the fear of, I know that who I am is not adequate. It's not good,
sure.
It's not adequate, it's not needed or loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I have to try harder. I have to become something I'm not. Which is an exhausting thing to do, you know, because
right.
You can only push that so far, and then you're out of resources, you know. And I, what I think I've seen is I'm hearing you, and I'm reflecting back on the years that I've been involved with you just to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
that these guys, I think they get to the point where they start to realize, you know what, I am okay with who I am. I mean,
mm-hmm.
who I am is what is needed, and where I am is probably where I'm supposed to be right now. It's not where I want
right.
to stay. That would
right.
be wrong, but I'm okay right now. I'm okay
sure.
with God, and I think that's what changes a person's life, when they realize, you know what, it's not my skills, it's me that's needed. It's who I really
right.
am.
Right.
And where I'm at right now is okay, as long as
sure.
I don't stay here, as long as I move forward, but right now I'm okay. I just wonder if that's really the core thing going on.
Yeah, we love to give permission to guys to just kind of feel where they're at in their lives and be okay with it. You know, because again, I mean, I think you're right too, Gary. Is that, you know, I think the true growth and transformation happens in a place of being present, and being present with your own reality, where you are in Colorado Springs, walking through this experience with, you know, guys your age and mentors. And so I think, you know, whatever that place is for a young man to go, okay, yeah, I'm not blowing it. You know, God is doing his work in me, you know. Because I think somewhere in that 20-something age group is that, you know, that agreement that says it's all up to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that is definitely a growth killer. I think it's the, you know, if we don't believe that God is doing more work in us than we are doing on ourselves, then I think we're in trouble. And I think the reality of that for guys to go to rest in that is huge. Because, you know, there's a million things yelling at them to say you should be doing these things. But if there's a, you know, a peace that, you know, that comes with being present with God, knowing that he smiles upon you, is life-changing. So
right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and these men in base camp are chatting quite a bit about this and what they're saying, which I think is so true. I'm loving reading this. They're just saying, you know, and there's something also very powerful about being seen by another man for who you
mm-hmm.
really are, and they stand
sure.
with you, and they stay with you, and they actually enjoy you. And what strikes me about Training Ground as well that you've done here is that, you know, yes, I think they get some really significant understanding, clarity, teaching from the different people you have come in and teach on these different things. But my sense is that probably the deepest impact happens when men like yourself and Brett, who works with you, and the different guides you have for fly fishing and shooting and all these things, when
mm-hmm.
these older men come alongside of them and literally stand alongside of them and put their hand
right.
on their shoulder and look them in the eyes and tell them they're a good man and they're doing okay.
Right.
I think for an older man to speak to their heart is probably one of the biggest cries of their heart.
Sure.
And I think that's probably life-changing for them.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest thing that I think at the core of what we do is we create a context for a relationship between an older man and a younger man. And that within itself is amazing. I think about some of our fly fishing guides who, you know, are with our guys multiple times. They are on the water multiple days with our young men, and they stay with them. I mean, it's to to every knot, lost fly, lost fish, you know, there's this context that is very father-son, you know, oriented where, you know, and it's beautiful. I mean, I would even say that, you know, most of our guys talk to our alumni all the time because there was something that was connected in them where an older man, like you're saying, Gary, I mean, I've seen it hundreds of times where an older man will come up to a young man fishing and just put his hand on his shoulder. So there's hundreds of things that'll get you frustrated about fly fishing. But to know that you have an older man saying, hey, I do that all the time. Don't worry about that. I've been fishing for 50 years, and I make that mistake all the time. You're doing great. You got this. You're going to catch that fish. I mean, somewhere in the mystery of that relationship is there's a powerful thing that happens. And it, not only does it just happen in the fishing piece, but it's, you know, over dinner or over a cigar or a campfire, that breeds the intentional conversation about life, you know. Where you actually, you know, the relationship has been built, and then that leads to intentional conversation about Christ, about where you are in your life, the decisions that you're making, you know, relationships that you have at home, you know, all of that is, you know, the relationship is the foundation of where intentional conversation happens.
Right. Well, so, you know, it's just amazing because the other thing I see that happens is that not only are these older men having a significant impact in these young men's hearts, standing with them, being with them, speaking into their life, but I see these guys who have been doing this for years, they can't wait to do this again. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just said this has made their life fulfilling and fun and enjoyable when they get to do this. I know you have some guys that, you know, they've done fly fishing a lot, and
right.
But this is the moment they wait for when they get to do this with a young man. And so this is having a huge impact on their lives as well.
So true. I mean, I can remember when Dan and I had our first graduation ceremony in 07, which is kind of at the end, and we have the older men come and share words and gifts if they choose. But it's really kind of ascending. And we pray over the guys and we wash their feet. And it's really kind of a symbolic tradition. And I can remember Zan and I leaving the cabin where we had the guys stay, and about a dozen to 15 older men follow us to our cars. And we're like, what's going on? And they ask us, well, when's the next crew coming in? And I was like, wow. Like, I think over time we thought we were creating something for young men, but we actually figured out that a bonus was that it was actually a place for older men to find a place to be fathers. And, you know, and I think so much of this is the Lord where, you know, even when Zan and I sat down and talked about it, so much of it was providential where, you know, we didn't ask the older men in our community to come and be like, hey, can you come teach a Bible study or, you know, which all have its place. But we really were trying to find older men that were passionate about something in their life, whether it was fly fishing or handgun safety or we've even had a guy that was passionate about packing sausage. And the important thing was is that we actually, what was really helpful was that we just tapped into an older man's heart and actually said, no, you do have a place. Like, this is a really, like, never discount your place in a young man's life. But bring who you are to this community, you know. And, I mean, that is always a fun part for me, you know, as kind of, you know, as some of the leadership of this ministry is finding older men that kind of have hit cruise control in their life and said, you know what, you know, I'm good. I'm retired. I've got the pretty comfortable life, but I really love going and finding those guys and challenging them, going, hey, these young men that are going to be here this summer really, really need you, you know, and most of all, they need your presence. And if you want to bring, you know, your skill or expertise or your talent, awesome. And I'm not even necessarily sometimes even concerned about the talent they bring. Just that the fact they bring themselves to the table is worth its weight in gold. Like, for me, that's one of the things that I'm probably most proud about Training Ground is that we really do love kind of older men just as much as we love younger men, because we know that both, you can't replace them. They have to be a part of the experience together. So, yeah, I mean, that you know, a ministry to older men, you know, would not be like, oh, that's exactly what we're going to try to create. But it's something that has come kind of as a byproduct of what we do with young men.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so let me just, because there's a guy on Basecamp, his name is Ralph McClellan, just a good man, and he just said, I need to tell you this now, I'll email you his address. He said, he said, I'll need your help, Corey, in planning of a father-son elk hunt this fall in northern Colorado.
Sure.
So
yeah.
If you give him some ideas, that'd be great. Okay,
yeah.
This has been so good. We are already 40 minutes into this. So let me ask you this question now. You know, environment is very important, and having set aside times is really powerful. That's why we do retreats and we do these different things, whether it's just, you know, with us, with our family, and we go off somewhere, or it's a retreat or something. That's important. But obviously, we can't live in these moments 24/7. So with the things that you've said that you've seen that have really impacted in a good way these men's hearts, these young men's hearts, at that core level, I mean, what can we do just as parents with our sons? And you know, you're a father as well.
Sure.
What can we do just with our sons in everyday life, do you think, from the things you've seen with these young men?
Sure. Great question. Gosh, great question. As we kind of figure out how to be parents, you know, I mean, I have a four-year-old daughter, and I'm obviously filled with more questions than answers. You know, the things that come quickly are, you know, and a good friend kind of from Milwaukee reminded me of this. He was like, cause he's got two daughters and a son, and, you know, I, a little bit down the road, and I'm like, man, what did you do? You know, what, you know, they're starting to become teenagers, like, what, you know, what was so important? And what his response was very candid and simple. He was just like, you know, I've spent years investing in the relationship. And I was like, wow, okay, like, and it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily kind of the big moment. The big moments do count, but the big moments only count because you have relationship, you know, with your son or daughter. And I thought, man, that's really important. And I mean, it relates to what we do with Training Ground because we're always trying to build relationships. But almost like life can be walked out and you can ask questions and find answers only in the context of relationships. You know, because I don't know, for as parents, you're always like, I mean, for me, it's always like, man, I hope, you know, my daughter, you know, gets to this age, man, I hope that I don't let her down, or, you know, I hope I'm there when she really needs me. But that shouldn't necessarily be a concern. My concern should be, what am I doing to build the relationship? And on the piggyback on that, one of the things, too, that we've learned in Training Ground is that how are we being students of the young men that are in our program? And what I mean by that is, you know, how are we not only being calling young men into what we do, but how are we letting young men call us into what they do? And it may be, you know, something that we're not, you know, very familiar with, but we're willing to take the chance for the sake of the relationship. You know, we're willing to, you know, I don't know anything about computer programming, or I don't know anything about, choose the context, you know, but for you to humble yourself and go, look, I don't know a thing, will you teach me? Was always, you know, it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. Again, if relationship is central, the movement as a father, you know, or a mother to be a student, you know, in some context that you can, you know, it's like a, one of my friends has a daughter, and you know, one of the biggest things about their relationship was they took a cooking class together, and it was revolutionary for the relationship because they were both learning at the same time. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm passing down all this wisdom and knowledge. It was like, oh, this is a shared experience alongside of each other that we're both learning the same thing. You know, and we do that in Training Ground. There's obviously we're going to obviously do whatever it takes to build the relationship. And I mean, that just feels, you know, those two things feel pretty huge in terms of not feeling like, oh, I need to take my son on this really big, epic hiking trip through the mountains of Colorado, which would be very important. But I think it's only very important if the relationship has been nurtured and stoked over years and invested in,
Right.
You know, it would just be hard. I mean, it's because that's a lot to put on an experience. You know, you need this experience to come through, you know, for you. But that's a lot to put on just one experience.
Yeah, and I've seen that really play out with this idea, you know, of doing a kind of a passage ceremony, you know, with a young man or a young woman. And mm-hmm. and I've seen this where guys, they go, oh, that's it. That's it. That's mm-hmm. the ceremony we have to do. And they put all this time and effort
sure.
into that one evening. And I just keep telling guys, it's not going to work, because if every right. other day actually tears that experience apart, it basically says that was a show.
Right.
Reality is every other day when we don't talk, we don't do anything, you never speak
right.
in my life, you know.
Right.
It just will, in fact, it will not only not do any good, it will become a major wound and disappointment in a young man or woman's life. So
sure.
I so agree with that. It's not a one-time experience. It's those experiences that yield themselves to everyday life, you know, where
sure.
it reinforces something. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I agree.
Well, just so you know, Corey, I'll put your email address up in Basecamp.
Sure.
There's a number of guys that would love to communicate with you. And,
that'd be great.
And they would be well off for it. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
This has been really, really good to get an inside yes. view of what you're doing and your heart for it.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate being here.
Yep. It's been very good. So everyone, it's been a great time being with you again. We've just had access to another good man doing a good thing, living out of the desires of his heart and seeing the fruit of it. So anyway, that's good. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you in next week, probably. See ya. Bye.